we had a fair line to continue, which is very strange and difficult world of COVID-19. But how are you doing? Are you feeling scared or anxious? Are you feeling tired or discouraged? Or are you feeling brave and hopeful? It is important to understand that being brave doesn't mean that we have nothing to fear. Being brave means doing the right thing at the right time, even if we are feeling afraid. Peter didn't take the fault when he was thrown into a pit by his brothers. Subsequently, he was sold to the Israelite traders, again by the same brothers. How was his fate? Was he scared? I'm sure he was. Did he still do the right thing even when he was afraid? I know he did. And just when he was secure with a great job and the responsibility of Potiphar's house, and he was worried about and thrown into prison. Do you think he was once again scared and discouraged? Absolutely. I'm sure he was, but he didn't allow himself to be. No, instead he picked himself up and assumed as a leader in the prison. Even though he was not quickly released, it seemed he had more lessons to learn. Are you feeling discouraged? Do you sometimes feel like you are in a COVID prison or in a let's see how God helped Joseph, as I think it will be an encouragement to us in our present situation. Hopefully one day we can all say that Joseph said, no merit or no distraction, but God meant for good. We are beginning a series on Joseph, and today is an overview of Joseph's life. As we continue through this series, we will get in more depth on his story. I can't wait to get started. How about you? Well, I just give you a little outline of the sermon today. There are four P's in Joseph's life: pivotal, providential, prosperous, and pure. And Joseph had three tests that he passed: self-pity, personal enticement, and self-indulgence. In every period of history, our leaders and statesmen who stand out and are long remembered for various reasons. The modern American family, who stands out as one of them? Anybody have an idea? Not everybody agrees. FDR. That's a good one. I would say President John F. Kennedy. Historians have long speculated on how America may have been different had he survived his first term and gone on to his second term. Instead, he was assassinated in the third year of his presidency. John Kennedy was the youngest man ever to be elected as president. Besides the storming of energy and appeal of a young man, he was handsome, wealthy, and had a beautiful life. Such idealism, he was viewed by many, so that his short term in Washington was called permanent. He was the most popular president of the modern era. A ruler in the Old Testament seems to have enjoyed the same popularity and charisma as Kennedy. Joseph, the son of Jacob. Born into prominence in Canaan, he was sold into slavery in Egypt as a youth. But then rose to become the second most powerful man in the land. The story of Joseph is one of the greatest in the Bible. His story has ambition, temptation, a poverty to cause fear, brilliance, wisdom, kindness, and high ground. He was certainly a leader who stood out in his day and has been remembered ever since. Nancy, who can take a photography, the story of its character. Following on, there are seven great men who try to make progress in Genesis. Ava brought an excellent sacrifice to God, and Enoch walked with God and was taken up to heaven. Noah built a ark in obedience to God and fulfilled his human race. Next was Abraham, the friend of God, who defined what it meant to walk by faith. Next was Abraham's son, Isaac, who illustrated the submission of faith. Isaac's son, Jacob, was next. He was an up and down man who felt what it was like to be in a school of faith. And finally, there was Joseph, the favorite son of Jacob. It is this story that fills the final chapters of Genesis, taking us right into Exodus. Joseph's story is told from chapter 37 to chapter 50, except chapter 48 and 49, which teach on other subjects. Here in Genesis is given to Joseph, and is given to any of other main characters. That fact alone is evidence of its importance in terms of Old Testament history. And in our study of Joseph, we will be covering chapter 38 and 39 to be thorough. As we study Joseph's life, we will discover many worthwhile reasons to study him. He was a man whose faith was pivotal to his life and his success. Joseph's life was pivotal. Joseph's faith is the connector between the books of Genesis and the Exodus. The hands on which the story of the descendants of Abraham turns. If you don't know about Joseph, it is impossible to understand how Abraham's descendants go from being a family of shepherds in Canaan to a nation of over 2 million people who are returned back to Canaan. After Joseph is sold into slavery as a teenager by his brothers, a family came upon the land of Canaan in Egypt. By then, Joseph was elevated to a position of prominence in Egypt, and was wise enough to have the most nation store of grain for 7 years for famine. His brothers came to Egypt looking for food to buy, and discovered the brother that had sold into slavery years before. After carefully reading, Joseph brought his father, Jacob, and all his family, 72, found in Genesis 46:7, and counted them all. He brought him to Egypt to escape the famine of Canaan. Pharaoh gave Joseph permission to sell his family in Goshen, where they lived for 430 years, increasing the number to 2 million people. Genesis 37:27 says, "So Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions there, and grew and multiplied exceedingly." Had Joseph not been sent ahead to Egypt, there would have been no rescue for the descendants of Abraham. In Exodus 1, we find a new Pharaoh arising in Egypt who did not know Joseph. He feared that the rapidly multiplying Hebrews might gain too much power, so while they were known to God, he subjected all of Jacob's descendants to slavery. But the Bible says the more the Egyptians afflicted the Hebrews, the more they multiplied and grew. And the Egyptians were in dread of the children of Israel. No matter how they were afflicted, the Hebrew slaves continued to multiply, consistent with the promise of God to Abraham. Joseph is the indispensable link between the 70 who entered Egypt and the 2 million that left. Joseph's life was providential. When Teddy Roosevelt was campaigning for president in 1912, he was shot in the chest while delivering a speech. The bullet was deflected by a horrible 50-gauge speech in a metal glass of cake that was in the inside pocket of his coat. The bullet lodged in the chest but did not turn the damage. Roosevelt later admitted that he had often complained It's important to note that Joseph didn't make himself prosper. both the Lord who prospers him. Joseph was a winner and a success story worthy of study. Joseph's life was pure. When Joseph hears by God, often does that, but same as his life in every life before we get to point. And the God that returns to his father for a fool repeats the story, Proverbs 26:11. We don't read who seeks to follow the Lord, but follows his coming to God, day 2, the first summer. Joseph was my hero, he learned the blessings, the first summer, every time. Whenever God took Joseph in a potentially dangerous situation, he always took God's favor. That means he was promoted to the next level in class. There were three primary challenges in Joseph's life. How could he pass the primary prize? The test was found to be. Joseph had been persecuted by his own brothers, thrown into a pit, sold to slavery, falsely accused, and thrown into prison, and betrayed by another prison for his hope and his freedom. Joseph had a lot of reasons to feel sorry for himself, and to have his own pity party. But we do not find one word of self-pity or grumbling on Joseph's part from the beginning to the end of his story. He seemed to have the ability to see God in the day in every situation in life. The test was sexual enticement. When Joseph was falsely accused and thrown into prison, it was because he resisted the sexual advances of his master father in Egypt. When Joseph resisted her seduction, he accused him of attacking her. But if he were to be killed, in fact, she also had his throat, but she held on to him with his breath, and her word along the way. He declared two reasons for resisting her temptation. He refused to dishonor his master, who had shown kindness to him, and he refused to dishonor God. So Joseph passed the test of sexual temptation with fine heart and kept himself pure in the sight of God and in love. The test was self-indulgence. Joseph's biggest test was when he was made ruler over all of Egypt. Second, only to fail in power and authority. The test was whether Joseph would use his power to enrich himself or to use it to serve the people of Egypt. Predictably, for him, he used it to serve the people. It was by his foresight and wisdom that he organized the nation to save enough grain during the good years to get them to the farm they really needed. Passing the test of prosperity and power was most often a target in passing the test of adversity. I mentioned how the Bible records nothing negative about the life of Joseph. He's one of three major Old Testament characters about whom I was treating. Do you know who the other two were? Daniel and Jonathan. The study of the life of Joseph would pay rich dividends for those who would take the time to study the Bible concerning him. We should ask ourselves, is my life a pivotal life? All of our choices impact other people. And the question is, how? Are we looking for evidence of God's providence in our lives? If you sit back and look at your life, you will find God's providence in your life. Do we test before we jump to conclusions? Are you asking God to make your life spiritually prosperous? Are you dreaming big dreams for God's kingdom? Too many of us are content with living a small repentance in the life and we put the dreaming large world. You don't need to be a ruler or a nation to change the world, but you do need to have a world changing dream. What about purity? Joseph remained faithful to God in a pagan culture. we came to you. And we do that by living faithfully for Christ, who is the ultimate example of faithfulness in this world. And we stand before God together, and we be inspired by the call to change our world for tomorrow. Amen. Dear God, thank you for the life of Jesus. And I'm going to take you to the end of the day. And I'm going to take you to the end of the day.